City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We are talking mega gay.
Oh, I like that.
I'm Steven Rader.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind.
Listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 401. I'm Amy Matheny.
I'm Steven Rader.
And we are hanging out at the wine bar across the street from the LaSalle Bank Theater, really known the Schubert Theater.
Schubert Theater.
Because it's about to be time for the Dolly Mobile.
I can't wait.
Dolly Parton is probably going to fly up in a big butterfly, pink and purple butterfly.
She's going to come down on the swing from her 70s
yes.
show. Remember that?
Yes, with the nice hair. She's 65 today. I thought she was a tad bit older than that.
Nope, 65.
But she's 65. That's a good age.
Yep.
That's a sweet spot.
Her birthday is the 19th, mine's the 22nd. So
that's
we have
exactly
a thrill
right.
thing.
Are you all Capricorns, both of you?
Nope. She's right on the cusp as well. She's an Aquarian and I am. Of course, now with this new thing.
I don't know. What is this
new
thing?
Who the hell knows? Just had to add a sign. What the hell is that?
Why did they have to add a sign? Because it was getting less specific.
Eucalyptus or something? I don't know.
Yeah, it's very strange. Maybe we should have an astrologer on, Neil Paris, to help explain what the hell is going on with the new sign.
I don't think
somebody told me that the other day. Somebody said, no, you're not a this anymore, you're a that. And I was like, what?
Look, I'm a lesbian. L-E-S. Oh, there's a big tour bus now.
No, that's not her.
Ugh, I would die. I would just die. I can't wait for her.
That's a very big tour bus. So now, do you know the music to 9 to 5, the musical?
I know nothing about the musical from 9 to 5.
Supposedly, the movie and the play were written by the same woman
same
who
woman.
Happens to be a lesbian
I
woman.
I know.
A lesbianese.
No, I know that movie.
Yes, backwards and forwards.
Oh, God.
Now, I bet that it's going to be pretty close to the movie since the same person wrote both, don't you think?
I hope so.
Why reinvent the wheel when it's so perfect?
Just
add some music and sequence to it.
Air damn tight.
And a type and a tap number.
I don't add a girl. Come on. What do you want? What do you want? Add a girl.
And Chicago's own Jane Blass, who we both adore and love. Jane used to be one of the sweat girls and is an actress around town. She was also in the cast of Pulp that Pat Kane did at About Face Theater. She's going to be in the cast, and hopefully we're going to hang with her a little bit tonight. We may get her on the podcast for a moment.
I had the love and satisfaction of touring with Jane Blass throughout the Middle East.
The Middle East?
The Middle East. We did
you
side
don't mean
by
like
side.
Saudi Arabia.
We were in Egypt and we were in Amman, Jordan. We were.
I had no idea.
Oh, yes. Jane and I. And Jane has this thing of constantly being late.
Uh-huh.
And I always say she's constantly late eating a muffin.
Eating a muffin, uh-huh.
And if you know Jane, that's funny.
That's very lesbo.
But I met someone recently who I said, oh, you know my friend Jane. And he said, oh, yes, the late Jane Blass.
Ah. she's
lovely. She's playing the Margaret Foster role.
Yeah.
Atta girl. I can't. Wait.
She's very, very funny. And has been on a lot of these tours, but she says that Dolly is lovely and so generous.
I think one of her Facebook profile status updates was Dolly came to the show again today. She's just as sweet as the homemade fudge she always brings with her.
Aww.
Could die.
How lovely is that?
I know. Right.
I'm sure that Dolly didn't think she'd probably be spending a blistering. I mean, we're going into sub-cold weather here in all through the week. Here in Chicago, it's not quite the same, but Tennessee's been really, really cold.
Yeah.
So if she's coming from Nash, Vegas, and that area, it's cold there too.
And she was born, you know, in that little house with no heat and no whatever. So come on.
She's a tough girl.
In her Tennessee mountain home.
In her Tennessee mountain home.
I love that song.
So
I can't wait for this.
So you and I have not had a Stephen and Amy Go to the Theater Night podcast in like 6 months. So this
Crazy.
Is a really, really great one. So Stephen and I are going to sign off. We're going to throw back a cocktail.
or a
Miller Lite. And we are going to hop across the street, hopefully catch a sight of Dolly. They said that she's probably going to be on the stage before the show. I would think she'd do after the show.
Well, you read this before. Chris Jones thing, right?
Well, what does Chris Jones know? Do we think he really knows?
No, but his thing about how she has a video. Is she opens the show apparently or something like that?
Oh, I don't know. Well,
we'll find out.
We will find out, and we'll give you the scoop afterwards. But right now, you're going to listen to the news and what's going on in the theater scene, and we are going to go to the theater, and then we're going to come back, hopefully, with what we thought of the show, maybe the lovely Jane Blass, and who knows what else.
Who knows?
It's a whole Dolly
evening
podcast.
I'm bringing my breasts.
It's always a Dolly podcast if you and I are on it, but
Amen.
This one's a super-duper Dolly podcast on her birthday.
Hi, I'm a Miller Lite Brewmaster.
Yeah, and I'm a Miller Lite Drinkmaster.
It's the Brewmaster Drinkmaster Show.
I just created a revolutionary aluminum pint bottle. Great new way to enjoy the taste of Miller Lite.
Wow. See, I just designed a new game day delicacy to be enjoyed with your great tasting beer, the 8-layer dip.
Well, the aluminum pint has a wider mouth, giving every sip a superior flow that delivers the great taste.
That's terrific. Most people flow from beef to bean to sour cream to cheese to guacamole to salsa to veggies. See, I'm not most people, though. I flow all the way to jambalaya.
Huh. Also, it's got a resealable cap that makes sure every sip tastes as fresh as the first.
Well, my dip is so hearty, it can last from a day game to a night game.
This isn't a competition, you know.
Okay, fine. You advance the science of drinking great-tasting beer, and I advance the art of enjoying it.
Introducing the new aluminum pint bottle from Miller Lite. Just another way for you to enjoy the great taste. Miller Lite. Great taste, less filling. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Live responsibly.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News.
In Illinois, Governor Pat Quinn is slated to sign the civil unions bill at the end of the month. Monday, January 31st, the public signing will take place at the Chicago Cultural Center.
The United States Supreme Court has rejected an appeal from anti-gay activists who wanted to overturn Washington, D.C.'s same-sex marriage law. The district's Board of Elections and Ethics rejected efforts to let voters decide the issue. The board said that having such a question on the ballot would violate non-discrimination regulations.
Keith Olbermann has said that he was told that his January 21st appearance on MSNBC would be his last, so he decided to say goodbye then and there. Olbermann, age 51, made news in 2008 with an impassioned commentary about the merits of same-sex marriage, saying gay marriage is a question of love.
Oprah Winfrey's own, O-W-N, has purchased the rights to Becoming Chaz, a documentary that follows Chaz Bono's journey to becoming male. Becoming Chaz is slated to debut at the Sundance Film Festival later this month. OWN is reportedly going to announce the movie acquisition there. Fenton Bailey and Randy Barbato, the pair behind Party Monster and The Eyes of Tammy Faye, directed.
Two more high school students, Minnesota's Lance Lunston and Pennsylvania's Tiffany Maxwell, have committed suicide. Lunston, age 18, was openly gay. Friends say that he was bullied because of his sexual orientation.
Ohio University will allow men and women to live in the same dorm rooms, an idea that was pushed on behalf of the school's LGBT center. The center's director, Mickey Hart, said that the new gender-neutral housing setup will benefit transgender students in particular. Other colleges in Ohio, including Miami University, are also experimenting with the housing concept.
In South Carolina, the Columbia HIV Prevention Program, YEAH, Youth Empowered Against HIV, received a $20,000 grant from the Central Carolina Community Foundation. YEAH trains 18 to 24-year-old queer youth to be peer educators. The program is part of the Harriet Hancock Center, a meeting space and resource for the LGBT community.
Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, has appointed Eric Boccher to a senior position in his administration. Boccher, who is 31, recently worked with the HIV, AIDS, and LGBT communities in New York City on behalf of Out Lesbian Council Speaker Christine Quinn. He left that position last fall to serve as the LGBT liaison for Cuomo's campaign. Cuomo has also appointed Alfonso David, a gay African-American, to the new position of Deputy Secretary for Civil Rights.
The federal rules that stop hospitals from sexual orientation and gender identity-based discrimination have gone into effect. These new regulations require all hospitals participating in Medicaid and Medicare programs, virtually every hospital in the country, to permit patients to designate visitors of their choosing and prohibit discrimination in visitation based on a number of factors, including sexual orientation and gender identity. President Obama announced the rules last year.
In New York City, two female teachers who were fired for allegedly having a sexual encounter have filed lawsuits to be reinstated. French teacher Cindy Morrow and Spanish instructor Aline Brito have sued the city's education department. In 2009, a custodian told a school administrator that he saw the women having sex in a classroom. After a state arbitrator reviewed the findings and heard from other witnesses, the teachers were fired.
Some may see the South as a hotbed of anti-gay sentiment, but data show that child rearing among gay and lesbian couples is more common in that area than any other region of the country. Gary Gates, a demographer at UCLA, said that this result is intriguing because Southern families defy the stereotype of a mainstream gay, affluent, white, urban, and living on the West Coast or in the Northeast. Gates, who used information from a U.S. Census Bureau sampling, added that Latino and Black same-sex couples are twice as likely as whites to raise children.
In New York, a superintendent has reversed a school principal's decision to not have a gay-straight alliance at Nassau County's Valley Stream South High School. Principal Maureen Henry rejected the idea of establishing the group, instead offering the students a chance to join the World of Differences Club. Two seniors then wrote the district superintendent, Dr. Richard Marsh, and a Board of Education president, resulting in the reversal.
The Wyoming House passed a measure that would ban the state from recognizing same-sex marriages performed in other geographical areas. The bill must now pass two more House votes before the Senate can consider it. Both bills that seek to ban marriage equality as well as legalize same-sex marriage and civil unions are on the slate to be considered.
In world news, in Australia, a gay couple who paid an Indian surrogate to give birth to twins won full parental rights for the non-biological father. The twin girls, now 20 months old, were born in Mumbai.
In Honduras, three murders of LGBT individuals have raised the number of slayings there to 31 in recent months. Among those killed recently was a 23-year-old transgender woman named Lorenza, who may have been stoned to death.
In France, the high authority will hear the case of lesbian couple Sophie Hablau and Corinne Sestino, who are challenging the country's ban on same-sex marriage, according to Pink News. The couple started proceedings last year at the Tribunal de Grande Instance of Reims. Late last year, the Court of Cassation referred the case to the High Court, which forwarded the matter to the Constitutional Council.
In England, Peter and Hazel Mary Bull were found guilty of sexual discrimination because they refused to let a gay couple share a room at their hotel. The Bulls were ordered to pay £3,600, about $5,700, for turning away civil partners Martin Hall and Stephen Preddy. The defendants argued that their policy was in accordance with their religious beliefs and that unmarried heterosexual couples were also denied.
In entertainment news, creators Richard and Esther Shapiro of the 1980s nighttime soap Dynasty have confirmed that a movie based on the series will come to movies theaters next year. The movie will be set in 1961 and will focus on the love story between Blake and Alexis, played on a TV show by John Forsythe and Joan Collins, respectively. The leads have not yet been cast.
Former pro basketball player Charles Barkley spoke out against anti-discrimination during a tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. before a January 17th game between the Orlando Magic and Boston Celtics. Barkley said, "We have a thing going on now, people discriminating against homosexuality in this country. I love the homosexual people. God bless the gay people. They are great people." When he thought about being a politician a few years ago, Barkley supported same-sex marriage.
Actress Anne Hathaway will appear on Glee. Creator Ryan Murphy has confirmed that Hathaway will portray the lesbian aunt of out student Kurt, played by Chris Colfer.
Susanna York, the British actress who starred in the controversial 1968 lesbian drama The Killing of Sister George, has died of cancer at 72. The lesbian sex scene between York's and co-star Coral Brown's characters earned the movie an X rating in the U.S.
Journalist Anderson Cooper will make his Broadway debut as a narrator of the 50th anniversary production of How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. Legendary journalist Walter Cronkite was the voice of the narrator in the 1995 revival of the musical that starred Matthew Broderick. Harry Potter actor Daniel Radcliffe will star in its revival, which previews on February 26th.
It has been confirmed that out singer Ricky Martin will star as Che in the Broadway revival of Evita, opening the spring of next year. Elena Roger, an Argentinian actress, will portray Eva Perón, a role that she played 5 years ago.
Sir Elton John has collaborated with Glee star Matthew Morrison for Morrison's upcoming solo CD. Morrison will release the CD in February.
Kelly Osbourne's now ex-fiancé, Luke Worrell, age 21, cheated on her with a transgender individual, Elle Schneider. Schneider, who was born Ronaldo Gonzalez, has been on female hormones for almost 3 years and has breast implants.
And when the All-Star edition of TV's The Amazing Race is February 20th, there will be two teams of gay contestants. Activist Mel White and his screenwriter son Mike will compete, as will deaf gay individual Luke Adams and his mother Margie. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Dunn Jr., and here's your Not at the Movies Minute. William S. Burroughs' A Man Within is the first feature documentary on the late writer since his death in 1997. It's also the first that gets beyond the cynical posturing that was Burroughs' famous trademark. Burroughs, whose books The Naked Lunch, Queer, and other works are classics in the canon of queer and outsider literature, was famously contrarian, a man who seemed to sneer at anything to do with the mainstream, and an object of idolatry by a generation of musicians, writers, artists, filmmakers, poets, etc., many of them spawned by the punk movement. Patti Smith, John Waters, Jello Biafra, Laurie Anderson, Iggy Pop, Gus Van Sant, David Cronenberg, etc., etc. All of these famously creative folks and more offer telling reminiscences, adhering to the acerbic public status of Burroughs in this debut feature from Chicago filmmaker Yanni Laser, or Lesser. I'll say Laser. Laser's movie is a fully realized portrait which gets beneath the surface, perhaps for the first time, of Burroughs' seemingly unbreakable facade. At heart, Laser finds a lonely man haunted by demons who desperately yearn for love and affection but rejected both in equal measure. Several of Laser's interview subjects surmise that Burroughs suffered most from unrequited love, beginning with the high school boy and continuing through fellow beat writer Allen Ginsberg and beyond, a running theme through his life that he shielded with his famously difficult public persona. Fascinating and illuminating, William S. Burroughs' The Man Within adds a very human dimension to an intractable and gifted artist whose obsessions and professional mask obscured that from public view. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Not at the Movies Minute.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of January 24th, 2011, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. In Brett Nouveau's Do the Hustle, Sam and Eddie are more than just a father and son. They are a crack team of hustlers, always looking for the next mark. Sam, a teenager who practically raised himself, now wants to strike out on his own. Eddie doesn't want to let his son go without one final hustle. Do the Hustle is playing now by Tix at writerstheater.org.
Tickets are selling quickly to Travels with My Aunt. Don't miss what the Chicago Tribune is calling sophisticated and wry, light and fanciful. And the Chicago Sun-Times proclaims is vivid, supremely well-acted, delightful, highly recommended. Many performances are already sold out. Order your tickets for Travels with My Aunt today at writerstheater.org.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi, this is Lily Tomlin, and I'm on Windy City Queercast.
just a simple country girl. I wanted to be pretty more than anything in the world. Like Barbie or the models in the Fredericks catalog. From rags to wishes in my dreams, I could have.
So we have just crossed the street. We have witnessed the Dolly.
Okay,
and
here's the deal.
Yeah.
Go see the show.
Yeah.
Go. I don't care. I don't give a fuck. I'm saying that because of your dad, because he said I should wash my mouth out with soap.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. Hi, Dad. About what the reviews say.
Yeah.
Go see the show.
We sat behind, or in front of, we actually sat in front of Chris Jones.
Hello.
We had better seats than
in front
Chris
of Jones, yes.
We had the best time.
It's great.
Dolly was there. She walked in on stage. Governor Quinn gave the keys to the city, or named it Dolly.
It was
Parton
Dolly Parton Day.
Day
today.
It's
who
her
knew?
65th birthday.
God almighty.
Can you believe it?
Unbelievable.
And she looked fantastic with her stars and stripes little skirt.
She's amazing.
Little red
amazing.
Striped skirt.
And the thing with the video, it works. It helps. It helps the show. It makes the show
So what
better.
Do you mean? Describe the video.
The video. She comes, she says, I'm the clock, is what she says. But, she, you know, the 9 to 5 is in a clock, whatever. But she comes out and she sort of narrates the show at the beginning and tells you who these people are and whatnot.
Yep.
And it's really smart. It's a very smart way to do it.
And then at the end, she also narrates the end of the show as well.
Yes.
So it kind of tells you where
thank you.
People are going. And
and she sings a little bit at the end. The little recording sings a little bit at the end.
But everybody in the audience sang her happy birthday spontaneously before the show. And then I guess they had it planned
that
they were going to sing it after with the entire cast. And she was there. And
amazing. I've never, ever, ever been anywhere that I've seen Dolly Parton live that I've not had the best time.
She's just so sincere.
Energetic
and
fun.
Real and sweet and fun and real and quirky. Now, okay, you are a huge fan of the movie, as am I.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
And what did you think? I mean, obviously the musical slows the movie down a little bit, the zing of the movie, but she's written some really good music.
Mm-hmm. She's written some really good music, and it's not all country music either.
Yeah.
Not all country music at all.
She has Backwoods Barbie in the
I was crying.
Yeah.
I was crying like a fool during Backwoods Barbie.
I mean, what we should say is that the three lead characters, Deanna DeGarmo, who some people know from, I think it was the second season or third season of American Idol.
She's greatest.
She was 16 on American Idol, and now she's playing the Dolly Parton role.
She's playing Dorothy Rhodes.
And then Violet is played by the fabulous Dee Hody, who I saw in City of Angels when I think I was 16 years old. She's brilliant.
Unbelievable.
I mean, you know, that's the part that Allison Janney did in the
she
Broadway
kicks it in
show.
The ass.
And she really does do a great job. And then
what's the girl? Something
an
Mame?
Actress, Mamie Paris,
oh
that I'm not familiar with.
God.
Who plays the Jane Fonda part, who plays Judy, and she has an 11th hour number that really just really is the show to
get,
me.
Yeah, get out and stay out.
Yeah, it's kind of the
Judy
point
Burnley,
of the show.
Please hold. Judy Burnley, please
it's
hold.
It's kind of the point of the
Judy
show,
Burnley,
and also she just kills it, right? I mean, it was a moment everybody loved in the show.
It's great because it's, I mean, she's screaming in her chest voice. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Ungodly.
Yeah. Tell me what you think the sustainability of Dolly Parton is, you know, over the years.
It's that Backwoods Barbie song. It's the Backwoods Barbie song, I think. I was thinking of it as that girl sang it. It says exactly what this whole package is. The package of Dolly Parton, to me, is that you have this facade that is so almost cartoonish.
Right.
And everybody thinks that that's the joke.
Right.
She's like her theme park. Everybody thinks it's a joke. And they get in it and go, oh my
gorgeous.
God, this is substantial.
Right.
This is something that is intelligent, smart, gifted. There's wildly talented.
Yeah.
But the trick is to get them in the door.
Right.
And I think that is what she does. Is she knows that how do I get them? I do this.
Yeah. Well, you know this. Well, she got obviously garnered attention from it, and obviously too was in an era and a time when that was kind of the bunny, the Playboy bunny, the boobs, the blonde hair, and it's what she aspired to. And she hasn't changed her
look. Well, that story about seeing the town whore.
Yeah, tell that story.
In Sevierville, and with her big hair and her heels and everything, and red lipstick, and mom, she said, "Mama, she's so beautiful." And her mama said, "Oh, she ain't nothing but trash." And Nelly said, well, Mama, that's what I want to be. I want to be trash.
I want to be trash. Well, and we had some women behind us, you know, and others who were asking about Dollywood, because obviously we started talking that we were from Tennessee.
And, unbelievable.
I think I just dropped my ear bob. Are you finding it? I dropped my ear bob.
The gay man will find the ear bob.
Excellent. I appreciate it. But, you know, it is true that Dollywood is this gorgeous theme park. And I think people had this, people do, because they mock it or they have this perception that
they
it
think it's
entirely cheesy.
They think it's like that.
But it's these amazing, she has assembled amazing artisans of mountain crafts, artisans and glass blowers, people who work in wood, quilting. Plus, she has the most gorgeous carousel I have ever seen in the world. I'm not that I've been
ever. Remember that woman back when it was Silver Dollar City and into Dollywood?
Yeah, it was
Silver
Dollar City.
Woman who made lye
first.
Soap. Remember that old woman? Oh,
yes.
God, I bought lye soap there. Like, it's good ass.
Yeah.
Wow, that woman.
Well, she has the railroad, the little choo choo train that goes all through the theme park, was there when it was Silver Dollar City before she bought it. But she did add this gorgeous Victorian that she bought in Germany carousel, and piece by piece, they brought it over from Germany and they reassembled it. It's just magnificent. She has a bald eagle preservation sanctuary where she is saving the largest quantities of bald eagles in the U.S. You know, she has also lots of other animals.
Oh, yeah.
The mountains are beautiful there. I mean, it's really a great place to go and to see. And, you know, I wonder, you know, do you think her lasting legacy is going to be as a songwriter more than a singer or a personality? Or is it just all an actress? I mean, or is it all of it?
I think when you get into her music, you understand that her music's going to last much, much longer than anything else will. I mean, I don't think she's going to... I don't think her passion or herself is going to die, you know, because there's that theme park or something else. But this, you know, having done a show of Dolly Parton music.
Yep. Dollywood.
You know,
W-O-U-L-D.
But the thing that I found that I kept from it was that I only did her music.
Mm-hmm.
And you begin to know that this is, it's substantial.
Yeah.
What she's done musically is deep.
Yeah.
And resonant, and talks about so many things that we really don't get into very much. And that, again, the facade is such that you don't think it's that deep. I mean, if she's known for nothing else, the song "The Grass Is Blue" is one of the most brilliant songs ever written.
Is that your favorite song? Do you have a favorite Dolly song?
That's my. I'd say if anybody wants to.
It's a great
to know,
album too. I mean, the whole album is.
You want to get a Dolly Parton album? That's the album you buy. You buy "The Grass Is Blue."
The Grass Is Blue.
The Grass Is Blue will make you a country fan, a bluegrass fan, a Dolly Parton fan, because people have this idea that it's really twangy, stupid music, and it's not.
Yeah.
It's fun music, and. And it has a heart to it that is so deep. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And she just is so freaking prolific, right? I mean, just the amass of work that she has done, the amount of songs that she has written. And she's an extraordinarily wealthy woman. I mean,
fool.
She's an extraordinarily wealthy woman. You know, I mean, the story that Elvis Presley wanted to sing, I'll Always Love You, and he never sang anything he didn't own, and she wouldn't sell it to him.
He said that Colonel Tom Barker wanted to buy at least half of it, because they wouldn't release it unless he bought half of it. And she said no, and everybody told her she was an idiot.
Yep.
Everybody told her she's a fool, and then Whitney sings it, and she still owns the right to it, and she goes, well, there you go.
Exactly. It all came back to her in the end.
Well, I love that she was here in concert at the Chicago Theater. You were there that night.
I was in the front row.
She said...
With my daddy and my mama
and
a lot of gay men in the
front
row.
Them.
You went in the front row.
But she said... She looked out at the house at one point. I've burned in my brain. And she said, well, we're having a good time tonight. And everybody hooted and hollered. And she said, you know, we could all get along like this all the time. And I thought, if anybody else said that from the stage, I would think it was bullshit.
Yeah.
I would think it was a line. But she believes that.
Yeah.
She believes that we can all... Because there was, you know, a couple in their 50s or 60s who reunited beside me. None of us should have ever been sitting together in the world.
She's like an equal opportunity lover, right? I mean, the Republicans love her, the red states love her, the blue states love her. And, you know, she has an enormous gay following. I mean, gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender. I mean, she has the G, the L, the B, and the T, and she is the D, practically.
Hello.
So, I mean, she really has, like, and how do you think she's done that? Like, how?
Because she accepts everybody for what they are.
Yeah.
I really think that she accepts everybody.
But she can come out and say, "Where are my gays?" And she can talk about the drag queens. At the same time, she can sing.
If I was born a boy, I'd have been a drag queen.
Yeah. It's true. And even though she was born a girl, she's still a drag queen. But, I mean, she's got an entire album, you know, of, like, U.S. songs, patriotic songs. And, I mean, you would just think these things are contrary. And yet Dolly somehow makes them all fit.
Because she really believes what she says.
Yep.
And that's so rare in this day and age. She believes every word from her mouth.
Yeah.
Every single word. And she's, well, my favorite thing is when she said, that night of that concert, you remember this, there was a Dolly Parton drag queen lookalike
and
there.
And a Kenny
and
Rogers.
A Kenny and a Porter Wagoner.
And a Porter Wagoner.
And they all came in together and I laughed my ass off. And they were about 3 or 4 rows in front of me. And in the middle of the concert, she said, I hear that Kenny and Dolly and Porter are out there somewhere. And the lights came up a little bit. And she looked and she saw them. They stood up and she saw them. And she let out a cackle. And she said, Lord, I've gone so far. I've met myself coming back.
It's
thought
true.
I was going to. Well, and tonight, you know, she said she's going to cut her cake, and she said that let's eat this cake. And I'm sure they all want to go home. They want to go pee.
They all got to go pee.
Oh my God!
Right?
Brilliant, just brilliant.
Yeah, it's totally true. I mean, she's got a million quips, and maybe you've heard them a few times, and
she's
it doesn't
gorgeous.
Matter because it's like it's the same. It's like we're hearing it for the first time. So.
When I was watching her all the time, you know that she sets these things. She sets a lot of her interviews up.
Yep.
Because her stuff is right there.
Yep.
She knows what she's going to say, and she has her response to it. She doesn't miss a beat because she's very together. There was an 60 Minutes interview where I forgot who was interviewing her, and he said, you know, I've been looking at this theme park, and he said,
Graham Norton. Graham Norton was at the theme park.
Well,
with
I love
her,
that episode.
Awesome.
My favorite.
If you all don't know who Graham Norton is,
look it up.
Google him
now.
British gay guy, interviewer, brilliant. And he went to Dollywood, which I love.
Graham Norton in Dollywood is crazy.
It's great.
This guy on 60 Minutes said, you know, he said, you think the theme park is something to sort of celebrate just you, but it makes money.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Dolly said, it makes money. And he said, I like the way you said that. And she said, I get people around me. I get an accountant to look over the books. And then I get somebody to look over his shoulder. And she said, then I get somebody to look over his shoulder, usually me.
Yeah.
She said, I know what's going on, and it makes money.
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 Well, it was a smart investment. She's a smart, smart, smart businesswoman. She's a huge family, and she puts them all to work. Takes care of all of them. Now, the whole story. Now, there's another documentary.
For the Love of Dolly.
For the Love of Dolly, which you and I
both saw. It's not my life story, damn it.
No, it's not. But you and I both saw it. I think I remember a couple years ago you and I talking about this. But there is all of these rumors that Dolly and her best friend Judy are lesbians. I want to know if you have a verdict on this.
I don't know.
Or do you plead the fifth?
I really do. I don't know. If she is a lesbian, she is... I don't know if she's a lesbian or just someone who might sleep with Judy every once in a while. You know what I mean? I really do. I think there
is. And that would be sweet.
I think there is no filter.
Yeah.
I think she is what she wants to be. And she knows she's a country singer.
Yeah.
A lot of that shit can't get out.
But that's why I wonder, like, the theory, and I thought this tonight for the first time. I really wondered if, like, because Judy was there tonight, I'm almost certain. When I saw them, they snuck in to sit in the audience, because she did say before the show, now it's my birthday, so y'all let me alone.
No, don't bother me.
Don't bother me so I can watch my show. And they snuck her in to the side, and it was way across from us, and... but on the same kind of row, almost. And Judy kind of, I think, came in, like, right after sat on the edge, and then Dolly was right next to her. And they snuck backstage, you know, during intermission, then came back in right after Act Two. And I started thinking, even with that Backwoods Barbie song, that, you know, what? I mean, she's 65. We're talking about a very different time. But what a great diversion.
Yep.
To look the way you look and play this role. If you truly were, you know, and, you know, I don't want to say that that would make her inauthentic to me. It wouldn't, you know. I really don't need Dolly Parton to be openly gay. I feel like she's been living whomever she's been with for forever. And, you know,
I think that she's got her husband. I think I don't think she's lesbian because I think she has her husband.
Yep.
I think she met Carl Dean. She met him at the wishy-washy laundromat.
He's a good-looking guy back when she met him.
But I think that what she writes in her book is true. I think that she went with him. She won a BMI award
first song she wrote with her uncle.
Yep.
And she took him to that award ceremony. She took Carl Dean, and he hated it.
Yep.
He hated everything about it. He hated the whole thing. And he just said, you do this, that's what you do. I don't want to do it.
Yep.
And he does not like it. And I think that's kept, you know, she says that Carl Dean will say, she'll be on tour, and she'll come home. After about 2 weeks, she'll say, ain't you got somewhere you need to be?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, she...
But when she was at the Kennedy Center Honors and she was awarded a few years ago, I mean, he came to that. I kind of wondered where Judy's seat was. But, because that would have been the most public thing, you know, that they would have attended. You know, and I don't bring it up to gossip or to whatever. I just bring it up to say, hey, you know.
I bet she's both. I really do.
You know, she may be the B and the G and the L and the B and the T, and maybe that's what makes her connected.
But if it is, I would think that she wouldn't label it as such. That's what I think is about
it. I agree that, you know, I mean, people talk about, I mean, really, the two couples that you always hear about are Oprah and Gail and Dolly and Judy, but most people don't know
And
Judy's
Tom Cruise.
Name.
And everyone.
Well, but I mean, really, you know, I've never thought that Oprah was. I really never have. I've never thought that Oprah was. I've never thought that Oprah and Gail were lesbians at all. But
because she's too butch for you.
Well, but I think that Dolly, you know, could be. And, you know, who knows? Who knows? I'll never know. We'll never
talk about
know
a lipstick lesbian. Talk about a lipstick lesbian.
And
can you imagine?
Nails, Jesus.
She said, that hurt you. Get away from me, girl.
Girl. But I did have a friend a long time ago, a guy that I knew. I haven't seen him in a decade or more. And he was on a flight one time, and he was in first class. And he got onto his seat, and he was sitting there, and the stewardess came in before the plane took off, arrived at the plane, took off, you know, first class to get your drink order, and leaned over and said, Miss Parton, you know, what would you like when we take off? And he said he looked to his right, because she was against the window, and she had on these big glasses, and she had on kind of like a scarf on her head, like tied kind of a la Jackie O, or Ally McGraw. And she had the scarf tied on her head, but she had this little short black hair kind of peeking out around her face.
Oh, my God.
And she did not have all that tons of makeup on. Now, this was back in the late 80s, early 90s. And he leaned over and said something to her at some point and just said, I'm a fan, or it's so, you know, I introduced himself and said, it's nice to meet you, and said, you know, she was delightful, and they visited on the flight. Obviously, he gave her some space, but said, you would not know it was Dolly Parton.
No.
And I'm sitting, you know, shoulder to shoulder with her, and you would not
ever. She says
know.
That too. She goes, if I don't put it all on,
yeah,
and don't have the wig on, you have no idea. She goes in places, they go, everything. My favorite story about her is that she does, on occasion, she has been known to put on the Dolly stuff and to go out on Halloween to Dolly Parton lookalike contest. And she did not come, and I lose.
Well, she did not come to ours. Stephen Rader and I, about, God, 7 or 8 years ago, we sang at a bar called Martyrs here in Chicago for the Estro Jam, which is the women's big music concert. And it was all women and Stephen Rader. But and Fausto.
Yes,
Furnace. But all these different women artists, and we all did Dolly Parton songs, and a great, great, great night. And they did have a look-alike contest.
And the same
woman that won was the woman that was at the concert when you were there. Yep, because I have pictures of her, because I hosted the event and sang at the event, and I have pictures from our auction of the, or our contest of the women, the Dolly women.
I just love me some Dolly. And when you know what she's done, especially for East Tennessee.
Yeah.
Not for the country, really, but for East Tennessee.
She's done more for literacy than Laura
Bush
and Oprah Winfrey and anybody else you can put combined. And I don't know that people know that.
To give them books, a book a month to every child until it's sixth grade?
Yeah, I think it's sixth grade. Through the sixth grade.
From the day they're born until then. You get a book a month.
Well, and they started it out just in her area.
In Sevier County.
And then it expanded, and I think it's in all 50 states now.
Before her daddy died, that he was most proud that children looked at Dolly and said, that's the book lady. That's the book lady.
The book lady.
Because her daddy couldn't read or write and signed with an X.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
So we have a special affinity to this show, too. 9 to 5 playing at the LaSalle Bank Theater down here. It's the Bank of America. Ooh, I've been saying that wrong. The Bank of America now Theater.
The Bank of LaSalle? What
you Bank say? Of America.
LaSalle Bank Theater.
Theater on Monroe, downtown Chicago. It's only playing through January 30th.
Go.
And what we need to say is that one of our fellow thespians, not a lesbian, but a thespian, Jane Blass, the very hilarious Jane Blass, was in the show tonight and stole the show.
Stole the show with a cross from stage left to stage right.
A drunk cross.
A drunk cross that is the funniest cross.
Her cross. From stage right to stage left.
Literally, the women behind me was like, that cross was, I mean,
and
hilarious.
Didn't know we knew her, but then when we were saying,
hilarious. She's brilliant.
So run, don't walk. I actually think I see her crossing the street. I do. She's going to enter right now.
I love her!
So we have to let you go. Maybe we'll get a little epilogue of Jane Blass at the end. But we hope you've enjoyed this Queercast. Please come see 9 to 5. We highly recommend it. And we hope you have a really good week. I'll be talking to you next time from New Mexico.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.